Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During this year of Bible readings from the Gospel of Matthew, we get an overview not only of Jesus' life and ministry, but we also get a window into the world that Matthew lives in. Now, most scholars think that the author of the gospel that bears the name Matthew was written in the mid to late 80s, in that first century, a full 50 years or more after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And as such, what we learn from Matthew is not just about what Jesus said and did in his lifetime, but what people thought about in regard to Jesus 50 years later. What does Jesus mean for me now? A person might ask. A person whose grandmother might have been an eyewitness to Jesus' acts and words. Why should I put my life on the line for this Jesus? Someone 50 years later, after the fact, might say. It's a little bit like looking back on the words and actions of, say, Abraham Lincoln or Franklin Roosevelt or Rosa Parks, and trying to teach our children and our grandchildren that these people made a difference in our world, that they still matter, that their ideals might even be worth dying for. And in addition to it being many years and a couple of generations later, the community of Matthew, the community to whom he writes his story of Jesus, is one that has not been particularly well treated. Their insistence on Jesus as the decisive word of God has not garnered them a popular place in society. Rather, they have been dismissed, ridiculed, ostracized, jailed, even killed because of their faith. Matthew knows this in much the same way that Martin Luther King Jr. knew that the black community of the 1960s didn't receive equal rights under the law. Matthew cared about his friends and neighbors who were mistreated, and he knew that Jesus loved them too. And this is the situation toward which Jesus' words of welcome and acceptance and reward are directed. You've all welcomed friends and neighbors into your homes, I'm sure. You probably have a guest room even now that is anticipating, hopefully once again after all of these days are done, that someone will eventually come and visit. We know how nice it is to gather with people in our living rooms or around our dining room tables or in our backyards for a barbecue. Only consider for a moment that there are still unfortunate rules and taboos about who you should welcome into your home. It wasn't too long ago that our society said that as a white person, welcoming a black person into your home was scandalous. Remember the movie, Guess Who's Coming for Dinner? Gays and lesbian couples are routinely asked to leave restaurants and bars, even today. And they are often not invited to the office Christmas party because they might make other people uncomfortable. Muslim families know that their kids are not welcomed to play with certain other kids in their neighborhood. And they stay close at the school bus stop to make sure that the driver doesn't accidentally leave one kid behind. Matthew's world of first century followers of Jesus trying to be accepted into the lives of their neighbors and their friends and even family might seem like a strange one. And living as Christians in the 21st century certainly is, at least in our part of the world, a lot easier. But none of us can deny that one of the things we continue to struggle with in our communities, in our homes, in our very lives is welcome and hospitality. I don't know if you've ever not, if you've ever experienced not being welcome or accepted. But if you have, if you have ever been told that you don't belong, or that you should go back to where you came from, or that your very existence is worth less, well, then perhaps you know the power and grace of Jesus when he says, welcome. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, Jesus says. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. It's one thing to say that we welcome all people. It's another thing altogether to do it. It's easy to welcome someone who looks like us, thinks like us, believes like us. It's another thing altogether to know that the life and soul of Jesus is in the one who seems very strange and even averse to our way of thinking. It's easy to offer hospitality when we don't have to risk the hostile stare of a friend or a neighbor or an employer, or the police. Later in his story, Matthew will return to this theme of hospitality. It's a scene that's probably familiar to you. Jesus tells of a time in the future when the Son of Man will come in his glory and sit on the throne of judgment, and he will gather the nations of the world, separating them on his left and his right, as a shepherd separates the goats and the sheep. And to the sheep at his right hand, Jesus will say, come, enter into the eternal glory and grace of God, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. But then Jesus will say to the goats on his left side, depart from me, for I was all of these things, and you didn't feed me, and you didn't visit me, and you didn't bring me a cup of cold water. Whatever else this story of Jesus is, it certainly drives home the primacy of welcome and hospitality, that more than anything else, Jesus demands that we become the ones who welcome others in Jesus' name, even as if it were Jesus himself coming to dinner. Whatever our place in this world, be we rich or poor, strong or weak, privileged or oppressed, God has welcomed us. God has embraced us with arms of mercy and given us a place at the table where there's food and drink and freedom and love for all. Only God insists that we turn that welcome into generosity. God will not let eternal grace and glory go unshared. God will give us that cup of cold water, and then God will give us another that we can share with our neighbor. Matthew's community needed to hear that even though the systems of their society didn't accept them, Jesus was still caring for them. People in our communities need to know that God cares for them too. And God has given that job to us. And through it all, God will care for us. God will say to the host of heaven, guess who's coming for dinner? And it'll be your name that resounds throughout all of heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.